Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Willy Klinger from the Austrian Wine Marketing Board. How are you, Willy?
Great. It's a great time. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk a little bit about Austrian wines.
Excellent. We spoke last week about Gruner and Zwalget and Blaufränkisch. I think my pronunciation's almost vaguely right.
Yeah, you're on the right way.
I'm getting there. So, before we recorded the show, I tasted a range of wines with you, and the wine I liked the most was actually St. Laurent, which is, you said it was a relation to Pinot Noir.
Yeah, it's a descendant of Pinot Noir. It's a little bit darker in color than most of the Pinot Noirs, and it's a bit maybe deep cherry fruited.
Yeah, black cherry.
Yeah, black cherry. Did you get that in the tasting? Yeah. And then it has some tannin, and it's a substantial wine. Maybe Pinot Noir is a little bit more refined, but this is a bunch of wine, really something that you would serve on a game dish or on a red meat dish. Very good food companion.
You know? I thought it reminded me a lot of it, like a Central Otago Pinot, which has got that black cherry. But St. Laurent had a really nice floral note that came through on the wine, which you don't really see.
It is. This comes also from the region it is grown. And this is Thermenregion in the south of Vienna. They have gravel soils, and the St. Laurent is ideal there. You know, grape varieties have different expressions according to the regions they are grown in. And Thermenregion is a stronghold in Austria for the St. Laurent grape.
Okay, well, we're going to talk a bit about regions in a minute, but I just wanted to finish up on some of the other grape varieties. I can't even pronounce that one.
That was the Semling or Scheurebe.
Yeah, what is that?
This is a grape variety that's also home in Germany. Mr. Scheu bred it in the 20th century. But the typology of wines that were represented by the Scheurebe and Pinot Noir in the end were sweet wines.
Yep.
And we should, I think, talk a little bit about the sweet wines, also related to the area they're grown in, because Austria, and especially Burgenland, which is the easternmost country, they have a big lake there, a steppe lake that's only a meter deep.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the second biggest steppe lake of Central Europe.
Steppe lake?
Steppe lake means in the plain.
Okay,
in a plain with belts of reed, kilometers of reed surrounding it. Yeah, reed is.
I know what reeds are.
This gives so much humidity. The surface is big, you know, and the sun evaporating the water, and this is an ideal terroir for the creation of sweet wines because. The grapes in the near the lake are affected by the humidity and affected by the noble rot.
Yep, botrytis.
Botrytis, we call it, noble rot. So our listeners must think of a fungus, a mushroom attacking the grape skins, perforating them so that the water evaporates and the grapes shrink. And so the must coming out from these grapes are like raisins, you know.
The ugliest looking grapes.
but the wine is tasting so wonderfully sweet. You know, we call it Austria's liquid gold, you know. But we're not the only ones of making wines like this. Think of Sauternes or Tokaj in Hungary.
Yep.
So, but we can do world class, we call it Bärenauslese or Trockenbärenauslese.
Yeah, very similar to Germany.
BA and TBA.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the Germans. So the grapes shrink, and according to the level of sugar, it's either a Bärenauslese or a Trockenbärenauslese.
What does Bärenauslese and Trockenbärenauslese mean?
If the grape must has 25 to 30% sugar in the must, it's a Bärenauslese in Austria. Over 30% sugar and there, a spoon would stuck, get stuck, is a Trockenbärenauslese.
Okay, so
dry berry selection, you would call that. Yeah, berry selection and dry berry selection. It's long words. Think of BA and TBA. And these wines are really precious dessert wines. You can drink them on a cheddar, for example, blue cheese, and it's beautiful combinations with food.
I thought the wine was really nice, the one we tried anyway. Nice acidity, Normally, I look for acidity in a sweet wine a lot. I'm looking for a lot of acidity.
It's a question of the specific wine.
Oh, yeah. The wine was very sweet, and there was a fair old amount of acidity there to back it up. But
this is important, you know. Otherwise, the wine gets cloying, you know. Yeah. And the better the acidity balances the sweetness, the more complex the wine is.
Yep. All right, let's have a look at some of the wine regions in Austria. You've given me a map here, so I don't look quite so silly. But to be honest, I can't pronounce any of them, so we'll start with Austria's like a shape. It's almost like an aubergine shape, isn't it? It's fat at one end and then tapers in, or pear.
In the west, you know, where the mountains are, we ski.
Yep.
This is the skiing resorts of Austria, very nice Tyrol and Salzburg areas. And in the eastern federal countries, there's wine growing. And we have four big generic wine growing regions that are the federal countries of Lower Austria, which is called in German Niederösterreich.
Is Austria made up of
9 federal countries?
They're their own countries, and then they have a federal state.
Think of Germany, like Bavaria. Yeah. I don't know the organization in Britain, in the UK.
Like Scotland, Ireland, and Wales.
We have 9 regions in Austria, political regions with a governor, and then they are a federal. That's the federal state of Austria.
Yep.
So 4 of these sub-regions make wine.
Yep.
Niederösterreich, Lower Austria is the biggest.
How do you say that?
Niederösterreich.
Niederösterreich.
Lower Austria. Right. Yeah.
Yep. So even though it's at the top.
The German, lower means Nieder comes from the Danube River crossing Austria.
Okay.
I'm from Upper Austria, would be the river upwards, and this is the river downwards. Yeah.
Okay, so it's to the west.
Yeah.
The Danube's coming from the west.
It's coming from Germany in here, and then it's Lower Austria. Lower Austria, Niederösterreich, with the very, very famous regions, sub-regions then, of Wachau, Kremstal, Kamptal, Traisental, Wagram, Weinviertel, Carnuntum, and Terminregion.
Yep.
That's the regions of Niederösterreich.
And what sort of wines they produce up there?
Usually the Danube crosses there. So it's Grüne Veltliner stronghold there.
Yep.
And the Riesling stronghold. That's the main Niederösterreich grape varieties.
So North Austria is very much white wines.
White wines, yeah. Grüne Veltliner and Riesling. 2 of the regions from Niederösterreich, Thermenregion and Carnuntum, we had the red wines already, the St. Laurent and the Zweigelt here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, these are the southern, more southern Niederösterreich areas, related to the grape, the red wine areas, which is basically Burgenland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Burgenland is the second big Austrian wine producing federal state of Austria. So Burgenland with the Neusiedler See, with the Leiterberg, the Mittelburgenland, and the Eisenberg area.
Yep.
That's Burgenland, close to Hungary.
Yeah, okay. And each of these sub-regions that you've mentioned, they're DACs, aren't they?
DAC, they are DAC if they concentrate on 1 or 2 wine styles.
Okay.
If they want to do the whole thing, then they can stay what they are, but they are not DAC. A DAC, think of a Barolo. Barolo does Nebbiolo, yeah?
Yep.
And Brunello does Sangiovese. So if a region agrees on that, they want to do only 1 or 2 grape varieties, basically, they can become a DSC status, and they would then serve their other wines because they can grow 35 different grape varieties, but they would go to the generic region with it. So they would say, if you take a Kremstal, DSC, this is only Grüne Veltliner and Riesling. If he wants to make a Chardonnay, he has to label it Lower Austria.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Lower Austria or
Niederösterreich. Yeah,
Niederösterreich.
Yeah, Niederösterreich. So, I said Niederösterreich, Burgenland. The third is Steiermark, Styria. This is in the south.
Yep.
And the fourth is Vienna. And Steiermark has 3.
Yep.
Weststeiermark, Südsteiermark, and Südoststeiermark, which is west, south, and southeast Steiermark.
Do you speak German or Austrian, or what's the language?
We speak German in school.
and Swiss as well, isn't
it? No. The language is German.
Okay.
Yeah? There are a few minority languages like Slovenian so on the borders, but 95% of the Austrians, all Austrians speak German,
Okay, so
we speak German. But then we have dialects. as you do, you know, go to Scotland or go to Wales and go to
Glasgow. You can't understand a word they say.
Yeah, we have also those dialects, but we try to speak Hochdeutsch, which means regular German in school and then on.
Is it Steiermark?
Steiermark, yeah.
Steiermark?
Yeah.
I'm going to get that. Steiermark.
Yeah.
Is that, what sort of wines do they make there?
You know, these are the most aromatic white wines of Austria. With an, they have a classic rosé also from a Blaue Wildbacher grape, the Schilcher, in the western Steiermark.
Yep.
But otherwise, it's basically aromatic white wines with Sauvignon Blanc in the lead.
Okay.
Sauvignon Blanc. They also have Tramina and Muscatella.
Yep.
And occasional Pinot Blanc and Chardonnay. But the Sauvignon is their leading grape variety. And this is one of the great Sauvignon terroirs of the world because they have shell limestone soils. So it is a great terroir for Sauvignon, and it's a great duty for us to make the world know these wines because there's little knowledge about it. It's very new development. But you will see Sauvignons that can age forever. It's incredible terroir for Sauvignons on these calcareous soils.
I'll have to get a few bottles and try them out.
And then there's the capital, Vienna.
On your maps, because I couldn't work out Vienna. I was reading about Austria this morning, and I was looking at a map, and it didn't say Vienna. It says, Wien.
Wien, it is Wien. Yeah, it's not Wein, it is Wien. Because Wein is, the German word Wein is written W-E-I-N.
Mm-hmm.
That's wine. And we pronounce it Wein, yeah? And Wien is W-I-E-N, yeah. It comes from Venia, from the wind.
Oh, nothing to do with wine.
Yeah, no. We love to pretend, but it's the wind.
Okay. On
the, etymologically, it's the wind, yeah.
Is it quite windy in Vienna?
It's quite windy in Vienna because, you know, it comes from the Alps to the plains, and so it's quite windy, yeah. So Vienna produces 612 hectares of vineyards, but which is great for a capital, you know.
Yeah, it's
within the city limits. And they have also a speciality, which is the field plant. They call it gemischter Satz, mixed planting.
Yeah.
Gemischter Satz, yeah. And gemischter Satz means that you have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 grape varieties in one block.
Yeah.
Plant it together, you harvest it together, and you would bottle it after vinification. All these grape varieties together. It's not a cuvée. A cuvée means you blend after fermentation.
Yeah, so this is a field blend, isn't it?
A field blend. And this is the specialty wine of Vienna, the signature wine of Vienna.
I was reading there's these...
White also, yeah?
Yeah. I was reading that there's these taverns or... What are they called? Green?
Heurigen, yeah? Heurigen.
What is that all about?
Yeah,
it's a wine and a, it,
you
a
know,
pub.
In history, yeah, in the 18th century, winemakers of Vienna and others, yeah, in the whole country were given the right to pour their own wine for visitors and charge them, you know, and serve cold cuts, yeah, simple food.
Yep.
Simple food and pour their own wine. And so they became taverns, so that they not only sold their wine to on the markets, but also at the winery. This is what we do. We love doing that in Vienna on a nice day. We go out into the vineyards of Vienna, also in the Steiermark, in all wine regions, and this is wonderful. You know, it doesn't cost so much money unless it's one of the hype and VIP tourist traps. Yeah. Otherwise, you sit in the garden, or in a kind of vault when it is the cellars, and a stube, as we call it. Then you drink his local wine. You eat a cold cut, some Würste, some pork, roast pork with horseradish and things like that. And then they are singing and they are drinking, and it's a really nice atmosphere, pubbish atmosphere, yeah?
Yep.
But it's about the Heurigen, means this year's wine.
Yep.
Yeah. From the winery itself. And there's a fir, kind of a fir bunch hanging out over the door. Yeah.
Fir bunch.
Fir, from a fir tree.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they hang a kind of, you would say a bunch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Out. And they see, when do you see the bunch? They say it's open. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah? Yeah.
It's very nice. Yeah. We call it also Heurigen or Buschenschank. Buschen means the bunch.
Yeah.
And Schank is a tavern. Yeah.
Obviously, Austria has been making wine for a while. It sounds like you've got quite a wine culture. You drink a lot of your own wines.
We do, yeah.
Yeah, which is surprising in Europe because you'd expect you to drink more French, German, all sorts of wines.
In wine producing country, it's important that the wine producing country, the public itself, loves their own wine.
Yeah.
And then we also import wine, of course, we do. And so we export also. Our main export markets is Germany, Switzerland, the USA. And Britain is coming now, you know. It's more or less fine dining restaurants or good wine bars that are serving Austrian wines so far, yeah.
Okay. All right then, Willy. I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Chris. And have fine time with Austrian wines.
I will. Cheers.